What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm talking to you, Marv. Yeah, man, we know your work. We know your work, Marv. All right, the drive is live, as it is divisional round week, as the Texans will take on the Chiefs. We'll get to a lot of that throughout the day, and a busy day on the drive. Rod White. Nope, that's wrong. Rod Wright. That's a tough one, man, coming together, man, that R and that W. Rod Wright, the defensive line coach, will join us. I think he coaches probably the most important group, or at least one of the most important groups in this game for the Texans. We'll talk to him. You'll hear Bobby Slowick right here live in the 3 o'clock hour. So a lot to get to, along with our guy, 440 Texans report with Brandon Scott. So a lot to get to today. I do want to pass this across. Shaq Mason did not practice, reported. Did not practice again. He's been out since the Chiefs game, the first go-around, December 21st. Well,
Shaq Mason was at practice.
I'm sorry. He is at practice. I'm sorry. He is at practice. I read that wrong. He is at practice. Thank you, Tyler. He is at practice. He has been out since the knee injury he suffered against the Chiefs. Along with him also being at practice, Azeez Alshire, Robert Woods and Juice Scruggs, who didn't practice yesterday, they returned to practice as well. So the injury part, at least unofficially right now, is looking like it is getting better for the Texans. When we get the official injury report, we'll be able to check that out. But there it is. Guys are back at practice that missed yesterday, and it looks like if Shaq Mason is playing, they got a decision to make coming up. I know the reason why I think he practiced. He wasn't in the starting first team. Mm-hmm. The starting team was the way it has been with Juice playing that right guard spot and Titus Howard at the left guard spot. So we'll see what happens. But at least if he is practicing, a decision to make coming up for the Texans with Shaq Mason.
Yeah, look, it's a good problem to have. I mean, you got two guys you believe in at right guard. One of those guys could swing over to left guard if need be. And with the struggles of Titus Howard last week at that guard position, anything is possible. Now, you got Chris Jones across the ball from you this week, so I would imagine that from a pass-protecting standpoint, they would probably stand pat with Juice Scruggs and Titus Howard inside at the guard position right there. That would make sense, but it wouldn't surprise me the way they've juggled offensive linemen all year long. It wouldn't surprise me if they didn't feel really comfortable, assuming that Shaq Mason practices well and that knee is right and he's able to change direction and play that guard position at a high level throughout practice and at least move efficiently. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they didn't make some adjustments on the offensive line. They've done it all year long. They've shown no hesitation in doing it. So we'll see. But right now, I would imagine they would keep it as is until Shaq Mason gets a few healthy practices under his
belt. Yeah, I mean, maybe the experience level, maybe that would be the thought of, all right, we're going to have a Juice Scruggs who's been playing the position for about, what, a month maybe?
Yeah.
And not to mention he was injured in the time of playing the position, but not playing the position for a long, long time here at right guard with Titus Howard, with that not his natural position. You could see maybe a shift. But to me, I don't think so. I don't know why you would change anything based off of what just happened.
Yeah, last week. You just like
unless Shaq Mason had been playing great and that wasn't what
well,
you
Well, it's a straight vet money move if they make that move. I mean, it's not because of play. I mean, look, there is nothing more impressive about last week I'll say even more so than the defense for me. Now, I know the defense was a bigger part of why they won the game, but to me, the unexpected, like, holy cow, I didn't know the Texans had that in them right now, was the ability to run the football. And it wasn't just in the fourth quarter. There were some solid, very solid runs and run blocking in the third quarter as well. That was really, really impressive and unexpected. So, again, to your point, Ron, when you go out there and you put that on display against a good front, like the Chargers front, I don't know how quick you want to be to make the adjustments right there. I think those guys running the football were awfully impressive at times last week.
Yeah, and yeah, especially the second half, especially that final drive. And it is going to be very, very key, Clint. The guys up front have one of their best games of the season to protect not just the run game, but to protect C.J. Stroud. And let's move into that, Clint, because last week when they played the Chargers, I said it, I don't think C.J. Stroud needs to be great. I think this is one where, I said I don't even think he needed to outplay Justin Herbert. Well, hell, Davis Mills outplayed Justin Herbert last week with what Justin Herbert did. So, yeah, he accomplished that. I just simply thought, hey, man, no mistakes. You know, don't get the Texans beat, because I felt like the Texans defense could keep the game in a way where they didn't have to go off offensively. This week, Clint, and the people out there, 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you know how we do it on the drive. You can jump in as well. Do you think this week he needs to have an A game? He needs to have a performance that matches the quarterback on the other side.
Yeah, look, last week it was just eliminate the bull jive. Just eliminate the silly turnovers. Eliminate the bad misses, and we'll be okay. Little did I know the defense is going to go out there and give you four turnovers. Anytime you get four or five turnovers, your defense gets four or five turnovers in a game. All the pregame expectations and analysis is out the window. The game is flipped on its head, so who knows what's going to happen. The reality of it is my expectations for last week's game was play your B game, eliminate the bad misses, eliminate the silly interceptions. He didn't eliminate the silly interception. In fact, he did it early on in the game, and they still got a victory out of that thing. Now, again, the defense playing lights out. If they go out there and get three, four, five interceptions, then the same thing will happen this week. But going into the Kansas City game, I believe this is one where CJ's got to have his A game. I think CJ's got to have his A game this weekend versus the Chiefs. It's not just about eliminating silly mistakes, and it's not just about being a good game manager. I think CJ Stroud's got to bring his A game. Again, it doesn't have to be in shootout fashion. It's just all the middle of the road stuff, the bad misses, the silly interceptions, the holding the football on critical downs, taking sacks when you're in the red zone. Like, all that stuff has to be elite, has to be special, has to be great, has to be on point for C.J. Stroud. And here's why. Because I know C.J.'s not playing Pat Mahomes, but ultimately this is the level of play that you're going to get from Pat Mahomes. Because Pat Mahomes, in the divisional round in his career as a starter, my man is 6-0. His completion percentage is 70% plus. His touchdown to interception, passing touchdown to interception ratio, 13-0. His total touchdowns versus giveaways, that's obviously him running the football and throwing the football. And on the turnover perspective, that's fumbles and interceptions, 16-0, folks. Passer rating in divisional round of the playoffs in six ball games as a starter, 115.8. Pat Mahomes is elite and has been elite enough times in the divisional round of the playoffs for us to fully expect that's the Pat Mahomes that you're going to get in this ball game. And with that said, if that's what Pat's going to play, if that's what Pat's going to do, if that's what the Chiefs are going to be quarterback, C.J. Stroud is going to need to do something similar. Unless D'Amico's defense can go out there and turn him over and make these stats that I just read to you not hold up for a seventh time for Pat Mahomes in a divisional round. But going into this game, you got to look at it like...
So you do look at this, because you don't do this a lot. You do look at the Texans' offense and C.J. Stroud clearly have to be affected by potentially what Mahomes and their offense will do.
Well, no, I don't know. I don't think you go into the game and saying, hey, this we got to get outside of our skin because Pat Mahomes on the other side of the field. I'm just saying you can't slow start. You can't waste series. You can't waste downs. You can't have dumbass interceptions. You can't, like, the way he ran the football, as decisive as he was in running the football, that's how decisive he's got to be the entire game. The way he was selective and played low to high and got the football out of his hands and protected himself in the second half is how he's got to play the whole game. We've seen C.J. Stroud be great this year for a half of football. We've seen C.J. Stroud go out there and have an unbelievable drive and be disciplined and be selective when he takes his risk. We've seen C.J. Stroud be great for a portion of a game. We've yet to see him go out there and be great for four quarters. I believe that if C.J. And again, when I say great, I'm not talking about five touchdowns and 350 yards.
Yeah.
I'm talking about consistent, efficient, solid quarterback play for four quarters. Decisive, instinctual.
Your game.
Trust your eyes. Your game. The Texans can win this damn ball game. Ain't no doubt about it. But those little careless mistakes, pissing away a drive here or there, they bite you when the opponent is this experienced and at the end of the day, this proven. Pat Mahomes, those numbers are absolutely ridiculous.
This defense was crazy last week against the Chargers. Do you think CJ needs to have his A game? Because when you're talking about this, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, A game can be a lot of different ways. What should be his approach and mindset? Should the mindset, Clint, be, hey, mistake-free, right? You know, not you know, as you said, not making any dumb decisions, mistake-free. Or, Tyler, should he be in there like, F it, man. I got to let it rip. I got to let it go. I gotta put it on the table. I gotta hunt to make play. I gotta make plays in this game. What should his mindset be? Because there is a thought, Clint, that, you know, hey, play make mistake free football also kind of can move into safe. Like that's a wonder. Should he go out there and say, man, I've got to go. I got to make some plays here.
Yeah, no,
I got to take some chances. I got to take a little bit more risk.
I know you asked Tyler. I'm with you. F it, let it rip.
Are you really? Because you're never really there.
Well, no, look, I don't have any. Well, you got to be there now. You got to get, if you win this one, guess what? You're going to be next week, Buffalo or Baltimore. Got to be there again. I mean, we're at that point where you've got now. There's a like I can deal with an F it, let it rip interception. Hey, you got Nico running up the seam and you think you can fit that joker in there and the linebacker tips it and the safety picks it. I ain't no problem. You're playing aggressive. I get it, right? The floating to the sideline and throwing it up to John Metchie, who's fading to the sideline, and there's two linebackers undercutting him, that both of them have a chance at. That's dumb mistakes.
Oh, no.
I'm with you on that. He's got to go play.
I think there's got to be a little bit more risk.
Yes,
this week
absolutely.
For CJ
calculated.
To try to make plays.
Calculated. Yeah. On time, on script, on schedule, calculated risk, if you will. You know what I'm talking about when I say the silly stuff that we've seen. I mean, whether it's timid and missing the touchdown to Tank Dell and it turns into an interception, or it's the silly stuff like we saw this week, this past weekend, the interception early in the game. That's the kind of stuff that he's got. He can play F it, let's let it rip type of football and eliminate those things from his game.
Yeah.
And we're at a point in the season where this is what it's going to take.
If I'm a Texans fan, I'd rather see – because last week it would have been like, hey, man, you don't have to take as much risk.
Sure.
Because I think, like as I said, I think the defense was going to give the Chargers problems.
Yep.
And to me it felt like last week – in my mind I'm thinking – what would you say? How many points do you think it would take to win? I'm thinking between 20 and 24 is what it would have taken. Now, clearly we saw it took 12 or 13. But between 20 and 24, I don't know that you can walk in this game in the playoffs in Arrowhead against that team and think that. I'll never forget Tom Brady, that first Super Bowl, when Charlie Weiss came over to him against the Rams in the last 2 minutes, and he said, hey, be smart. We're backed up. Hey, we still have overtime. It's not. And then when he walked away, Drew Bledsoe walked over to him and said, man, F that. Let it rip, Tommy.
Yep.
Again, and he made some plays. It feels like, as you said, now where they are in the playoffs with the teams that are left, it's got to be more, you know, let it rip. And I will say this, as somebody who has covered the Chiefs and all of their games in this run, the two quarterbacks that have gotten the Chiefs play the style of game that CJ plays.
There's Joe Burrow
and Tom. Those are only two people that have beaten the Chiefs and Mahomes in this time frame, and they both play a similar game to CJ Stroud.
Well, that's why last week, Ron, in with CJ's decisiveness with his legs gave me so much hope, man. That's a mindset, and when that is your mindset, that dude's special, man. If he gets in his own heads, we got problems. But when he's in that mindset of being just make a decision and live with that sucker, man. Let's let it ride. He's been really, really good. So last week's running from CJ Stroud gave me a lot of hope, and it's more about the decision making than it is necessarily him using his legs. So we'll see. Now's the time, baby.
Real quick, last year, very similar. Going into the divisional round, you won the South. You won the game comfortably in a blowout in the wild card against the Browns last year. You go to the number one seed. Are you feeling better about this year's divisional round game or last year's divisional round game? You feel better this year?
No, I think I'm still last year.
Yeah.
I think if you compare the two, I think I'm still there. I'm an offensive-minded guy. I was a lot more confident in what they were doing offensively last year than I am this year. But I'm going to tell you, man, that the defense and the way that they played – it's a lot tighter right now than I thought it would be, because that defensive performance last week was better than the offensive performance against the Browns last year in week one. So, if I weren't an offensive guy, it'd probably be difficult to answer that question.
I think I agree with you, just because I think it just comes down to, like, the confidence level in CJ and Bobby at this time last year is different. I still think they're clearly fighting up, but I think just naturally you feel better if your quarterback is the one that is rolling as opposed to other things.
Well, so, you feel like, because whether you need to score 20 points or 40 points, either way it goes, for me with the CJ and Bobby Slowick thing, is it all boils down to how good do you feel in a 2-minute situation, down 2 points and you need to go 50 yards to get in field goal range, or down 4 points and you need to go 60 yards to get a touchdown. How good do you feel about this team? And I feel good about their ability. It's the up and down nature of all year long of the issues that we've seen come up. So I'm not as confident this year as I was last year. But you flip the script and you say, hey, how confident are you in this defense being able to stop Pat Mahomes versus what we had last year? I would bank on this team 10 out of 10, this defense 10 out of 10 times, obviously. So, that's a good conversation.
It's very similar. It's very similar going against the one seed, going against it, a team that's probably heavily favored, as I think the line is 8 the last time I saw it. It's just the quarterback feel is different than it was last year. Because everything's – Nico was the only receiver, right? Your other guys that were injured last year, too? Yep. Tank was – it just feels different from the quarterback. All right. We did these last week in the Charger game. We'll do it again this week. The must-haves. These are must-haves. Must-haves for the Texans to be in this game Saturday against the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Saw it. I see people texting in, getting more excited as the week goes by. It should be. It should be a fun game, man, on YouTube and Twitch. And I'm getting more and more excited. My fandom is starting to come out.
Come on, baby. Let's get it.
There you go.
It is hump day.
It is hump day. It is hump day, and
don't turn the corner.
A couple more days, it will be game day here for the Texans as they face the Chiefs. As we said, coming up here, we look forward to hearing from the defensive line coach, Rod Wright.
Not Roddy White, not the old wide receiver.
Wright. No, forget about it.
Rod Wright.
Yeah. Yeah, so he'll be coming
not
up
to be
here.
Confused.
Not to be confused. Roddy, not to be confused. He'll be coming up here in the next segment, hopefully. But in this game, you know, there's some things where, you know, must-haves that they need, that it feels like right now, walking into it, that they need to have going into this game to give themselves a chance. And I've said it this week, and some have had issues or whatever with the conversation, but they cannot just they cannot just, to me, punt the first 28 minutes of the game the way they did.
Yeah.
The way they did on Saturday against the Chargers.
We don't like that.
Yeah, it's simple, man. It's simple. The reality of it is everybody in the playoffs that's still alive is stepping up in a weight class. That wild card round is exactly that, wild card round. You got playoff caliber teams. Now you've got a bunch of teams that feel like they are, or they've proven that they are, Super Bowl contenders. And it is stepping up a weight class. The Texans got a halves this week versus Kansas City. Ron hit the nail on the head. For me, first and foremost, it's a fast start. And again, you don't get to interpret fast start to mean what you want it to mean. When I say fast start, I mean you got to come out. You may go 3-and-out on the first drive. You may get a drive that flips field position and you punt and pin them deep. It may be no points. But what you can't afford to do is waste drives shooting yourself in the foot, whether it's your best offensive tackle giving up sacks, whether it's your a highly paid right tackle that's playing guard, getting penalties that pull plays back, your quarterback throwing meaningless interceptions, your wide receivers fumbling early in games or having drops in games. You just cannot start that way and expect to win games. And that is never more so the truth than when you're playing Kansas City in the playoffs at their place. So, Ron, I think number one is they got to get off to a fast start against the Kansas City Chiefs.
And to go into that, within the fast start, they've got to weather, and this could be a part of the fast start, weather the early punch that the Chiefs are probably going to try to throw.
Because
I'm telling you, you all have seen Arrowhead in the playoffs. That place is going to be crazy.
Yep, weather in the storm. Weather,
it's going to be crazy. Mahomes and them, they have not played since Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. They're going to come out and try to throw an opening punch. A knockout punch from the jump. And you got to weather that storm. Like coming out of the first quarter and you're on the mat, that can't work. And be different from the way it was earlier in the month. Can't come out, touchdown, interception to start it off. The way you did. So.
Yeah, when it's all said and done, if your defense goes out there and creates four or five turnovers, you can do whatever the hell you want to. But going into the game, you got a plan to get off to a fast start. You got to appear to have prepared and be ready to play and not wait until you're 20 minutes into the ball game before you start rocking and rolling. The Texans are plenty capable of that. And I would expect that is a big-time emphasis offensively this week in preparation for Kansas City. So, number one, fast start. Ron, number two, for me, it goes back. You've heard it before. It's a hill that I'll die on. I'm going to beat the dead horse, right? C.J. Stroud has to eliminate the stupid interceptions. He has to eliminate. I know last week that was one of my gotta-haves, and he did it, and we still won a game. But, again, You throw early interceptions like that. You turn the football over the way Metchie did early on. You force your defense into a position where they've got to hold a really good offense to field goals. They've got to go out and get four turnovers, and one's a pick six, and damn near another one taken back to the house in order to have a convincing win. The reality of it is, CJ, you can throw a pick. You can throw a pick, but it can't be the elementary picks. It can't be throwing balls up for grabs. It can't be not throwing the ball away, and instead you're throwing into coverage and into traffic. He's got to eliminate that from his game this week, next week, and as long as the Texans are alive, Ron. I know that's something on this show you hear a lot of, but I'm just telling you, this football team is tenfold more dangerous when that happens. It's just the reality of it. Those are my two on offense right now. I'm sure I'll add to this list as the week goes along. But on defense, since I've been with this radio station, since I've been covering the Texans, I've watched the Houston Texans. Now, multiple different coaches. I've watched the Houston Texans, and I've had conversations, and I've heard conversations leading up to games about, do you have an answer for Travis Kelce? And I still think, I don't care what the Chiefs are doing offensively, I still believe in critical situations, at the very least, Travis Kelce's going to be the guy that Pat Mahomes looks for. Travis Kelce's going to be the guy that has great chemistry and almost where they can play street ball out there against your defense, and you got to have answers for him. And this is one thing for me, maybe we'll talk about it later in the show, This is one thing for me. I know I've talked about it for 6 years now. I think the Texans have played them several times over the 6 years that I've been here. There's been a lot of conversations about answers for Travis Kelce, and I don't know what the answer actually is, but I feel really good about this team's ability to have multiple answers for Travis Kelce. You're not going to stop the guy.
That's right. You don't think this is going to be like the Lonnie Johnson?
We've had conversations about, well, Lonnie Johnson's big. Lonnie Johnson can run. Yeah. You know, Justin Reed was an answer there for a while. There's been several conversations about what are you going to do with Travis Kelce? And it's not about stopping the guy. If he goes, it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't go out and have 10 catches. It's in a critical situation. There's going to be four or five critical situations where, damn it, Pat Mahomes is going to find Travis Kelce. Can you get a PBU in those situations and force a punt or force a field goal? Can you just stop him one or two of the five or seven times that they're going to target him? That's what this is all about. Don't let Travis Kelce.
He's still get in the a number rhythm. One person for you on their offense.
Absolutely, without a doubt. I mean that's the one. The other guys, they got a lot of playmakers, Ron, and nobody knows that better than you. They've got a lot of playmakers, no doubt about it. And I'm just telling you, going into this game, I'm going to make them guys beat me. I'm going to do everything I can to know exactly where Travis Kelce is at all times. And I'm going to do everything I can to emphasize to my guys, you ain't got to be perfect. We just got to get one or two. And we got a chance. And you give our offense a chance. You keep points off the board. You force them to punt. You get the ball back to CJ and company. And maybe we can go get some points. The answer for Travis Kelce, I think we've got multiple options. Don't know if any of them are going to work. We got multiple real options this year that we can throw at him, and we hadn't had those before. Last but not least, real quick, they need a spy for Pat Mahomes in critical situations. His legs, I'm sick and tired of watching his damn legs ultimately win games late in games.
Hey, old Kermit the Frog.
There's got to be a spy associated to some degree with them legs. Don't let Pat's legs hurt you.
Mm. All right, those are some big keys there. Kelce... the legs of Mahomes, CJ, hey, protect the football, and then need a fast start. I agree with those there. All right, coming up, we hope to hear from Rod Wright. He is the defensive line coach for the Texans, and his group will play a major part in this game. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. Rod Wright will be joining us momentarily. He is the Texans defensive line coach, so a few things to get into it with him ahead of this big game. From the text line earlier, Clint talked about he thinks CJ needs his A game. Text or text in. CJ needs an A game this week, but all the guys in the trenches need an A game as well. Either drop below a B plus, and we will not have a chance. Sean the Don. Yes, I've said that too. I think that the Texans' offensive line has to play one of their best games of the season.
Well, let me add to that. And this is a hill I'll die on, is because in order for them to play the best game of the season, CJ's got to play his best game of the season. Yeah. This isn't. It starts with the quarterback, guys. I know there are problems, and I know there's a lot of folks that don't, you know, that don't want to pile on CJ or talk negative about CJ, and that's fine. Look, we can have real conversations without being sensitive. But the reality of it is. Everybody's job is made easier if the quarterback is playing a certain brand of football, right? And if he's not, then his job, the O-line's job, the receiver's job, everybody's job is more difficult. And so the reality of it is, if the O-line is going to have their best ball game of the year, then that's going to start with CJ making their job as often as he can, not for four quarters, but as often as he can, CJ has to make their job easier, not more difficult.
Yeah.
That's just football 101. That's just the reality of playing the position. O-line is impossible if they're going Cincinnati Bengal this thing and sit back there and pat the football consistently.
Yeah, yeah. All right, joining us now as we head out to the phone lines, Texans defensive line coach Rod Wright joins us. I got to ask you this, Rod, because anytime I run into people who are in the organization, first, we appreciate you coming on with us. Anytime I run into people in the organization, I gotta. Does Nick Caserio call you RW? Because everybody that his nickname seemed to be is the first letter of their first name and the last letter. Like he calls, I mean, Jalen Petrie's JP. I mean, everybody, does he call you RW?
Well, first off, appreciate you having me. Not to my knowledge, he might say that to somebody else, but I haven't heard him. He hasn't called me RW to my face, so maybe he might. That doesn't mean he won't say it to you, though.
Hey, Rod, what was the difference with your group up front in this game against the Chargers? Because from interior and to the outside, they just seemed to dominate this game. And it wasn't just Herbert throwing picks. He was forced into the picks with the pressure and obviously against the run game as well. What went into it in this game against the Chargers?
Well, I think just understanding what the situation was. I mean, it's win or go home now. I mean, this is literally why we picked this room. This is literally why the guys that are here are here. No disrespect to the regular season, but, I mean, once you get in the postseason, I mean, it's time to play your best ball. So I think the sense of urgency was there. I also think that we're healthy. I mean, we've had – that's really our first game with every single person being available and staying available the entire game. We've had some injuries. We've had other situations occur. And so to be fully healthy up front and – just having a real sense of urgency of what the game meant and what we needed to do, I think the guys just rose to the occasion.
Rod, how much did the Baltimore game, how much front of mind was that in preparing and basically getting the guys right?
Well, I tell the guys, man, God makes no mistakes. And I think that that game was, although painful and hurtful, to lose that type of game on Christmas Day in front of your crowd, Beyonce there, man. Like, there was a lot of hurtful feelings walking off the field like that. But to be honest with you, it was a real wake-up call. I mean, that's the type of game you got to win to reach our ultimate goal. And we came up super short. And I think that that was a punch in the mouth for the players and the coaches. And I think everybody had to take a look in the mirror and figure out what we need to do to put ourselves back in a situation where we can be competitive and win those type of games. And I think it was well for us. It wasn't well at the time, but I think that everybody upped their game and their sense of urgency based off of that game.
Rod Wright joins us, the defensive line coach here for the Houston Texans. All right, you just played the Chiefs up in Arrowhead about a month ago. What did you take away from the performance of your guys in that game and what you want to see from them in this game?
Well, I think that's another guy makes no mistakes type of situation, because now you can try to prepare them for that stadium and that environment, and I still don't think you can prepare them for the playoff environment that they're going to have there. We know it's going to be even more loud and more intense, but I think being able to go there and mentally put yourself in that situation where we've been in that locker room, we've been on that field, and we've competed, we had some success and we have some failures in that game, and it wasn't a long time ago. I remember last year we played the Ravens game one, and we played them the very last game. We kind of went in that game with a mindset that we had going in the first time we were there, just off of being there before. But that was so far away, spread out in that season. With this season, I mean, we were just there literally, over a month ago. And so I just think it prepares the guys. Guys know that we can compete with them, and there's things that we needed to clean up to put ourselves in a position to be successful on Saturday. And I think that in that game, I mean, everybody left there feeling like, hey, man, not only can we play with them, but if we clean up some things, we can give ourselves a chance to win that game.
Hey, take us into the D-line room real quick, if you will, man. I mean, look, we've had – I do the post-game show with Sean Pendergast every game, and we've had Will Anderson on multiple times. And I get it, talking to him, how this could be the case. But I do think it's rare. Just I don't know if it was you or one of the other coaches talking about him being the leader in the room. And I just want to peek behind that curtain a little bit, because, I mean, you got old-school Jerry Hughes. You got an absolute monster in 55. You got several middle-aged dudes that are long in the tooth, that are veterans. For me, it's crazy that Will Anderson is the dude that is, quote-unquote, the leader in that room. And it's beautiful. Yeah. It's valuable. Take us behind the curtain a little bit on that. How has that happened, and you know, what does that necessarily mean in that room?
Well, I mean, if you come in our room, be ready for a lot of loud talking, a lot of high energy, it's fun, but at the same time, it's intense. We really enjoy each other. From the coaches, myself, Coach Nate, and all the players, man, it's a real tight bonded group. We're learning, but we're also just the energy has to be right. Like if a guy walks in the room and like, good morning, coach, and the energy ain't right, me and Nate are on you. Oh, you're not coming with it today? Oh, you just existing today. You're not trying to be great. And they, oh no, coach, I'm good. If they come in the room and I'm in my office and I didn't say anything and I'm kind of low, hey, oh, coach, you're not here today. You're not bringing it today. You know, so we check the energy at the door immediately. Like if you're kind of trying to get by until practice, like that's not going to happen. And it's all in fun, but it's all in serious. It's like, man, you better bring it every single day. Like, I don't care what it is. You better bring that energy and have it right and ready to go. When it comes to Will Anderson being a leader, man, like he's an old soul, as y'all can see. It's just the perfect mesh. I mean, the veterans are very, very good, tough guys that understood when they came here. Will earned their respect from day one. The work he's put in, the him willing to speak and step up, him saying the right things. As a leader, there's a lot of people that can just talk and sound good, but like when you have somebody that has true wisdom and is tough and brings it every single day, like you're gonna lock in and listen to it no matter what the age is. Nobody said a leader has to be a 10-year vet. Like if you know what you're talking about and you can back up what you're saying and you're making plays, they're going to listen to you. And I feel like we have the perfect mesh. Our veterans understood when they came here whose room it was. And we've just created a room where we're a family. We trust each other. We like being around each other, probably a little too much. but that's kind of our room, man. And we like to have fun in the room. We like to have fun on the field. And when we talk about fun, I mean, we're also talking about working. These guys like to work. They like to hit. They like to be physical, and that's just the makeup of the room. It's a lot of dogs in that room that have a chip on their shoulder, and that's the way they play.
Hey, Rod, hey man, make sure. Like I said, we had Will on the post game show, man. Make sure Will gets him thumbs addressed now. I mean, hell, it looked like he stuck his damn thumb in a cage with a pit bull. I said, one of them was wrapped up all the way. The other one was torn. I said, damn, Will, what? I mean, I understand it's a violent sport, but what the hell you been doing?
It's the only injury report for the hand.
when you see the way he punches people, like at some point, you're gonna have to wrap those things up. But like when he, it doesn't matter whatever tape you put on those thumbs, fingers, hands. Like he's going to punch through a brick wall. And that's another reason you respect a guy like that. Like not just with how hard he plays, but how physical he is. So, I mean, when you have a guy like that that's willing to put his body on the line and be there all the time and just be positive as well. I think we have a positive room. We have guys that like, you know, if something didn't go right, like we don't have time to kind of hang our head, like let's get it right and let's move on. So, I mean, I think that's just the makeup of our room, but that's why Will can lead this room.
All right, Rod, we appreciate you joining us, and We'll be watching you guys as you all play this big game coming up on Saturday.
All right. Appreciate you having me.
All right. That's Rod Wright. I wanted to get in a little bit more, Rod. Somebody had been in texting talking about how Rod beat the brakes off of the guard in high school out here. said he lifted him up off his ass. I want to see if Rod remembered him. But
Rod's got that dog in him.
Apparently, when he was at Hastings, he took somebody out. just lifted his guard up and put him on his ass. I wanted to ask him about that. All right, coming up as we continue, Derek Stingley, by awards, by everything we've seen, has been this team's best player this year. How do they use him in this game? How does D'Amico, Matt Burke employ Derek Stingley in this game? We'll discuss that coming up next.